Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Tonight is the night. It is the big final in Ultimate Hell Week on RTE1 at 9.35. Lads, I'm up to 90 and my next guest actually knows who wins. But do you think I'll be able to beat the answer out of him? Well, I doubt Ray Goggins, the chief instructor, is going to fold under question. And let's see. Ray, how's it going?
Good, Jennifer. How are you, girl?
Who wins?
Good, good.
Who wins? Who wins, Ray? Tell us.
Who wins? Oh, I cannot answer that question. Not a hope.
Damn it!
Not a hope.
We should have changed it to a radiator or something, or put a bag over your head when you came in.
A few slaps or something, or I don't know, get a couple of gorillas. I don't even tell my wife.
Do you really?
No, I don't. Don't forget. Like, all our careers, we kept secrets. That's all we did. This is just another secret from the country.
Oh, yeah, this is no bother to you. Yeah, go on.
I will give you one. Go on. Go ahead.
No! Sorry, go ahead. Jesus, you can't do that to us, Ray. So I'll give you one little nugget. Go on.
Yeah, it'll be a good episode. It's going to blow your mind.
I'm still traumatised about the episode where they were puking on the beach and you guys were making them scoop up their own puke and put it in their pockets. I'm still traumatised from that episode. And I was watching it with my husband and he was like, oh, geez, why do they do this to themselves? It's a phenomenal show. It looks amazing. I'm reading your book at the moment. So I'm just going to fangirl over you for a sec. I'm a big fan. And I didn't know you come from a long lineage of soldiers in your family, your granddad, your dad. Was it inevitable, do you think, for you to be a soldier and be in the army?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know I had those outside influences from my family, but it wasn't like, you know, I was dragged up to the barracks when I was 10 and became a boy soldier or something like that. It was never really spoken about my house growing up.
There was a moment, though, wasn't there? There was a moment when you thought, this is the life for me.
Oh, yeah. Like, I knew that from a very young age, and I was kind of getting myself ready all through my teens for, like, you know, so yeah, it was always going to be that. I never thought of anything else. Like being a doctor or being an astronaut. I just wanted to be a soldier. That was it.
In the book, you talk about the ceremony. Was it your brother or somebody in the family, the ceremony that you went to and you thought, and they were marching, you thought, this is amazing. This is it. Would you say that was the moment for you?
Absolutely, yeah. Like it was kind of one of those epiphany moments where, you know, I was quite young. I was probably only 8 or 9 years old at the time. And it's like a graduation ceremony for my brother when he joined. And I just thought that it just like it blew the head off me. I was going, yeah, this is what I'm going to be doing. This is it for me. Like, so yeah, that's where it went.
What I loved in the book, and you talk about, is when you fail to get through the training the first time around. Can you just explain to the listener why that happened, and then, you know, where you got your motivation from?
Yeah, so like the first time when I went up, I was age doesn't really matter. I was 21 at the time, but I hadn't prepared properly for the course, obviously. I went at it like pretty quick when it was announced. So I didn't commit to it. I just kind of said to myself, okay, I'm fit, I'm young, I'll try this. You know, how hard can it be? Famous last words. It was like impossible. It was incredibly hard. Because if you're not ready on the inside, if you're not prepared on the inside, like you're not going to manage it on the outside. It doesn't work out for you. So I hadn't committed. I didn't believe in myself enough. And I had prepared. So that's the lesson I took out of it. So after a couple of weeks of, you know, getting knocked about, I quit because I just doubted myself. I worried about things that didn't affect me and so on. And like whatever confidence I did have was eaten up by that. Wow. So it took me a couple of years then to bounce back. So I kind of did a bit of soul searching for a while. The lads in the barracks obviously slagged me all the time, which is the army's way of dealing with any type of trauma, which is great. So from there, then I kind of built up my self-confidence by, you know, getting more experience, traveling overseas on missions, getting promoted to an NCO. You know, being in control of troops and training myself then both mentally and physically to pass. It took me 7 years to get that done.
Wow.
So I was like Rocky, getting ready for Rocky 5.
And that's what it takes.
Yeah, well, look, I was committed. I was driven. So I kind of, and I got a bloody nose on the first one. And I was saying to myself, okay, this is why I got the bloody nose. So now I committed and I worked on the weak things I had. So yeah, second time.
So, fair play. Does that help you relate to the people on the show? That experience.
Absolutely. Oh, for sure. Because like, you know, that people just think it's about these guys, these angry guys in black shouting and roaring at people. Yeah, that's a part of it. Because we're testing their resolve. We're testing their ability to endure. And we've all been through that and worse, because, you know, like, to get into the special operations, that course now takes probably the best part of a year. So the failure rate is incredibly high. So that's just to get in the door. And then you have a career there where, like, you're always doing courses, you're constantly doing operations training, where that kind of level is constantly there. So even if you're not on a real operation, which contains adversity, there's adversity being created, you know, by training staff, by yourself. So you're constantly in that position where your decision making is good, you're constantly under pressure, and it's a good thing, because you just, you know, nothing is a problem then. You just get on with stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely, as we've seen in the show, it's not just about physicality. It's all mental. If anybody's listening now and thinking about joining up, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I'd say go for it. Like, if you wanted to join the military in any regard, you know, the Air Corps, the Naval Service, you know, it's like what you see in the show with us is quite extreme. It's not all like that. Like, yeah, it is quite robust in patches, but there's a lot more kind of technical stuff you can do. You know, in the Naval Service, you can do much more kind of, you know, tradesman type stuff. You know, you can become an officer. There's so much in the armed forces that you can do. It's not just about, like, you know, picking up puke on the beach. There's so much other stuff there. There's loads of stuff. Yeah. Like, it's what you make it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Your former colleagues were getting Irish people out of Kabul recently. How hard is it for them to operate as an elite force without the basics, like their own transport?
Yeah, like, what it does is it demoralizes you, because if you think of what I talked about there and the sacrifices, yeah, I made and those guys make on a daily basis, you know, being away from their family and operations, putting their life on the line, like, not just in operations, but training, and then having to basically kind of bum their way to Kabul to be able to do their job. Like, once you get these guys on the ground, they're as good as anybody else there, all these other, like, you know, high profile units that we train with anyway. So yeah, like, it's a big downfall, and it's something that needs to be seriously addressed by the decision makers.
Absolutely. Can I ask you, what's it actually like to come back to family life from a war zone?
It can be, yeah, it's a bit kind of, there's a bit of a kind of bedding in phase, and in fairness to the military, the Irish military are very good at dealing with that, and, you know, coaching people through and giving them support. So you have kind of like a decompression period. But it is. Like, I remember myself, I worked in Afghanistan as a civilian contractor. You know, sometimes it was my mindset and my kind of resilience was tested as much coming home for a month than it was flying into Kabul, because, you know, you have to fit back into the world. Like, the world has moved on. You went away for 2 months in Kabul, whatever you're doing, then you come back to the world and have to move on that 2 months that you've missed. So you got to catch up, you know. So it can be challenging, because, you know, your kids are bigger, there's new things on, you know, and 2 months in a small child's life is a long time. So, mm-hmm. It can be a bit of a mind check. All right.
We had Rory O'Connor in last week.
Yeah.
He's still shook from his Hell Week experience, but we had a great chat. They have some bond, the contestants, don't they?
Yeah, like, you know, people don't, like, I like to hope the people at home see that, because, you know, they don't have any phones, they have no contact with the outside world. So they have nobody to talk to, nobody to bond with, only those people around you. So that's why we create that environment. So even the crew aren't allowed to talk to these guys.
Wow.
Because it breaks that mindset. And, like, you know, we talk about giving them the number. That number is so important psychologically. Like, you become that number, you know, you become that person. And, like, the bonds you create are immense, because, you know, all the barriers are broken out. There's no pretense. There's no having your, you know, going for a fancy lunch or being able to hide behind buzzwords and whatever you're doing. It's just you and what's inside you standing there with these other people. And, like, everybody's vulnerable.
It's so wrong.
It is. But
do you and the lads put bets on in the beginning as to who's going to win and who normally gets it right?
I bet you do. I've heard of some other people from other, like, special forces units, and they can say, oh yeah, I know who's going to pass. You never know who's going to pass. Like, somebody could be like 5 stone or 20 stone. Don't matter. Like, it doesn't matter how big or how small. Like, yeah, you would get an idea of somebody initially, but, like, you'd be foolish to make a bet on someone, because you just don't know what's going to suit somebody or not. So, no, we don't do bets. Like, you might get a few ideas on people and, you know, you talk, but, like, no, there's no bets.
Who surprised you the most then? I mean, that's a safe question without giving it away, but out of the whole series, who surprised you the most, Ray?
Who surprised me the most? I have to say, like, probably some of the girls, like, they were amazing, like, you know, because, you know, to be able to put up with those conditions, like, and that cold and that, you know, intensity, the hardship, and be able to push through it, like, it's just a great example to other people. Like, I was surprised, and I wasn't, because like people underestimate the power of, you know, for example, Lauren Nolan or Neil, because like they're small, but like they have a serious engine in them. And like, you know, once you believe and you have the right mindset, there's nothing going to stop you. Once you just keep going, and they show that on that program. It doesn't mean, to me, it doesn't matter about getting to the end. Like it's your own journey. On
yeah.
Whatever that is.
And we've seen that.
Yeah, and even like with Rory as well. Like, you know, Rory, like fairness to him, has done so much for guys to be able to be open and honest about, you know, like how they feel and, you know, not being in a good place. It's that's okay. Like, you know what I mean? Once you know what to work on, it's pretty good. Like,
I'm terrified of Laura Nolan now.
Are you?
Oh yeah, my God, she's a beast. I was looking at her going, holy God. Now, I've seen her dance. I've seen her on the dance floor, and she's a beast on Dancing with the Stars. Oh, if that ever comes back, we don't know if it will, but if it does ever come back, would you be tempted to do it and we can put you through your paces?
You're bad, not a hope. No way. Like the coordination of a sand crab. Not
if Bernard O'Shea can do it, Ray, I'm sure you can do it. You'll be fine. Well, listen, there's four finalists on tonight. Let's have a listen to them before the final challenge. Check this out.
Was that one of, or if not, obviously the toughest thing that you have ever done?
Ever done, yeah, in my life.
It's the toughest thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, that was tougher than birth, giving birth.
So who wins?
I cannot answer that question.
Listen to me.
I'll give you one thing. Look, I'm not giving you something about the show, but myself and Rory are after pairing up now. So we're actually getting together and we're doing a series of live events at the end of next month. So it's going to be like an evening with Rory and myself, and we're going to talk about mindset, resilience, controlling your demons.
Mindset, so resilience, all that kind of stuff. Amazing. So yourself and Rory, this sounds really good. So are tickets on sale yet?
Yeah, it's going to be announced tomorrow. So tickets are going to be on sale next week, which is Tuesday, I think the 19th, from venues and website. And look, just keep an eye on our social, on Rory's and mine. And like, we'll let people know. But look, it'll be a bit of crack. I think it's a good thing, and it's a good time to do it now with people, you know, so we can do some talking. See what
brilliant,
happens.
Brilliant. Well, we're looking forward to that. And thanks for giving that exclusive on the Jennifer Zamparelli show. Yes, give me some.
Jennifer, are you send lads around in a black van to my house?
That's how we got you on the show. Ray Goggins, you're an absolute star. Thanks so much. Best of luck with the show tonight. And you can tune in to RT1. It is 9:35. Every single one of them had an amazing journey. It's an incredible show. It's so well made. I love it. I'm a huge fan. And thanks again to Ray Goggins for coming on the show. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.